Good morning, and welcome to the CyberSmart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Hello, friends. Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. This is the CyberSmart Morning News Update. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. Since this is the Wednesday podcast, this is a deep dive, which means I only really have four stories to kind of go over, but we're going to kind of go over them in more detail than I generally do. As always, if you are a subscriber, if you've just started watching this on YouTube, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to do so. We'll try to keep this to 15 minutes or less if possible. If you are a video expert and can tell me how to fix some of this video stuff, I'm certainly all ears because I'm a novice at this, figuring it all out on my own, but hopefully it is not too distracting. So let's get right into the news stories. This first one, big one, honestly, and it probably will not get a lot of attention because of the target, but this is from bleepingcomputer.com, Bill Tolis reporting. Fujitsu found malware on IT systems and confirms a data breach. Well, that can't be good. Japanese tech giant Fujitsu discovered that several of its systems were infected by malware and warns that the hackers stole customer data. Fujitsu is the world's sixth largest IT service provider, employing 124,000 people, having an annual revenue of $23.9 billion. Let's repeat that particular sentence. Fujitsu is the world's sixth largest IT service provider, employing 124,000 people, having an annual revenue of $23.9 billion. Now, you'd like to think that of that 124,000 people, some of them may be involved in cybersecurity. Of that $23.9 billion in revenue, maybe a couple million could have gone to some better cybersecurity. But here we are, the sixth largest IT services firm in the world compromised by hackers. But let's continue on. The company has a strong presence in the global market, which means that they have customers from all over the place, operating in over 100 countries. It also maintains a multifaceted relationship with the Japanese government, undertaking public sector projects, getting involved in government-funded R&D projects, and playing a crucial role in the country's national security. I would also guess probably the country's critical national infrastructure as well, in addition to maybe other countries' CNI. An announcement published late last week on the firm's news portal discloses a major cybersecurity incident. Again, there is a cybersecurity incident. We can't say exactly what it is, but we can come up with a nice euphemism that makes it sound less problematic, and that the has compromised systems and data, including sensitive information of customers. We have confirmed the presence of malware on several of our business computers, and as a result of our internal investigation, it has been discovered that files containing personal information and information related to customers could be illicitly removed, read a Fujitsu notice. After confirming the presence of the malware, we have promptly isolated the affected business computers, taken measures such as strengthening the monitoring of other business computers. Fujitsu says it will continue investigating how the malware has found its way into business systems and what data it exfiltrated. Well, yeah, that'd be probably a good plan there, I would tend to think. What else is to say? Though the firm says it received no reports of misuse of customer data, it has informed the Personal Information Protection Commission about the incident and is currently preparing individual notices for impacted consumers. In May 2022, Fujitsu's Project Web Information Sharing Tool was exploited to breach the offices of multiple Japanese government agencies, allowing unauthorized access and stealing 76,000 email addresses and proprietary data. So they didn't learn in 2021. Here we are in 2024. Them getting compromised yet again. What exactly does this mean? Well, it means that you would like to think, honestly, that a large company such as this would have the capability to protect their data. Clearly, they do not. And so, obviously, they have resources, should be able to use those resources correctly, but they don't. So again, it goes back to something I say over and over and over again. If you're a small and medium-sized business, how are you supposed to partake in the correct security of your systems? Now, chances are Fujitsu is being targeted much more frequently than your local mom and pop IT service or defense industrial base provider, but those are still being targeted. So what I'd love to see from this, which we won't see, but would be fantastic, is if, what happened, right? How did Fujitsu get compromised? What is the nature of the cybersecurity incident? Since data was stolen, I'm thinking, may have been ransomware, but it doesn't seem like it. But again, how'd they get in? Was it credential stuffing? Probably that was the case. Was it a phishing email? certainly possible, but something that would help the rest of the world understand how, again, the sixth largest IT security provider in the world got compromised. So I'd love to learn. It'd be great if we learned from that. And if we get more information during the week, I will come on in individual videos and talk about it, but this is where we're at now, so we can probably expect more news of this as it goes forward. All right, from theregister.com, Jessica Lyons reporting, Beijing-backed cyber spies attack 70-plus organizations across 23 countries. Now, that headline for me says, yeah, no kidding, not a shocker. But Chinese cyber spies have compromised at least 70 organizations, mostly government entities, because that's kind of what they target, among other things, and targeted more than 116 victims across the globe, according to security researchers. The Beijing-backed hacking group, dubbed Earth Krahang, exploits publicly facing services and uses phishing emails to deploy two custom backdoors, according to Trend Micro, which has been monitoring the cyber espionage campaign since early 2022. One of the threat actor's favorite tactics involves using its malicious access to government infrastructure to attack other government entities, abusing the infrastructure to host malicious payloads, proxy attack traffic, and send spear phishing emails to government-related targets using compromised government email accounts, said Joseph Chen and Daniel Lugny in a research published on Monday. Earth Krahang also uses brute force attacks to obtain credentials and steal victim information, we're told. Wow, government organizations seem to be the gang's primary focus. The security shop says it found at least 48 compromised government entities, with another 49 being targeted. It also goes after education, telecommunications, and other sectors. Now, are we surprised that China is hacking government entities? No, but this article is kind of nice in that saying a little bit about what they do once they get in. And so you can extrapolate this out that these spies are going to hit other entities beyond just government services, but critical national infrastructure, energy services, all that kind of stuff, and use those relationships between those entities to target other similar entities. So what we can learn from that is obviously government entities are attacking other government entities because they have bad actors in their systems. The interesting thing that would be helpful from this, if you were to ask me, is what's the dwell time? They have now identified 70 victim organizations. How long were these Chinese actors in those systems? That, would be helpful from a postmortem perspective, but goes to show that regardless if China says we're not hacking anybody, that's not our system, understand their line. And this kind of goes into the whole TikTok thing also. This is just one part of Chinese activity to steal information, to be able to use it to further their country's interests. And we can't take a look at all these things singularly. We have to look at them as a whole. Take this activity, take TikTok activity, take targeting of defense industrial base entities, take the theft of intellectual property. All that stuff ties together that shows that China is winning the war without firing a bullet. All right, from darkreading.com, Nathan Eddy reporting, conversation overflow cyber attacks bypass AI security to target execs. So this is important. If you are an executive, if you are a C-suite level or a vice president, something like this, understand. Like I like to say, understand the threat targeting you, right? If you are a big wig in a company, there are threat actors targeting you because of where you sit and what you know. So this says credential stealing emails are getting past artificial intelligence's known good email security controls by cloaking malicious payloads with seemingly benign emails. The tactic poses a significant threat to enterprise networks. Important to understand that. A novel cyber attack method dubbed conversation overflow has surfaced, attempting to get credential harvesting phishing emails past AI and machine learning enabled security platforms. So, you know, a lot of companies will say, we have AI, we have machine learning that we can use for cybersecurity. Well, understand, the bad guys are doing the exact same reverse engineering of these tools that the good guys do to reverse engineer the bad guys' tools, right? So it goes both ways. So you can have these tools that will have some limited impact positively for a while, but eventually the bad guys are going to figure out a way around it. The emails can escape AI and machine learning algorithms' threat detection through use of hidden text designed to mimic legitimate communication, according to /Next threat researchers, who released an analysis on the tactic on Tuesday. They noted that it's being used in a spate of attacks in what appears to be a test driving exercise on the part of bad actors to probe for ways to get around advanced cyber defenses. So this is always going to be the push-pull of cybersecurity. Bad guys figure out how to do something. Good guys figure out how to counter it. bad guys how to figure out how to counter the counter, and it goes on and on and on, which is why we need to try to stay ahead of these actions. And that can only be done through threat intelligence, through listening to podcasts like this, better podcasts than mine that go into even greater detail into technical specifics on certain attack vectors, and reading CISA reports when they come out, looking at FBI threat intelligence reports, finding threat intelligence from other sources that are free to read, just to kind of understand what are the bad guys doing to get around these controls. More from this article. As opposed to traditional security controls, which rely on detecting known bad signatures, AI and machine learning algorithms rely on identifying deviations from known good communication. So the attack works like this. Cyber criminals craft emails with two distinct parts, a visible section prompting the recipient to click a link or send information from time immemorial, this is how it's been going, and a concealed portion containing benign text intended to deceive the AI and ML algorithms by mimicking known good communication. The goal is to convince the controls that the message is a normal exchange, with attackers betting humans won't scroll down four blank pages to the bottom to see the unrelated fake conversation meant for AI ML's eyes only. In this way, the assailants can trick systems into categorizing the entire email and any subsequent replies as safe, thus allowing the attack to reach users' inboxes. So this, and there's more of this if you want to look at it. I'm not going to go that deep into it today. But it's important now to remember a cybersecurity basic. Don't click on emails that you're not expecting. Look for distinguishing characteristics of emails that indicate it may come from someone that's not trustworthy, that may have malicious intent. And now, obviously, with this kind of thing, see if you can scroll down farther. The farther you can scroll down, if you see stuff at the bottom, you know it's one of these particular conversation overflow attacks trying to gather your information. So again, something to be aware of. Understand the threats targeting you so that you can assess your risk. All right, lastly, this is a really bad article. I'm about to sneeze, so when that happens, I will turn off my mic so you don't hear it. Oh, here we go. All right, sorry about that. If you saw a video, you saw me sneeze, but you didn't hear it, so thumbs up for everybody. But from cyberscoop.com, this is AJ Vicenz and Elias Grohl reporting. Healthcare groups resist cybersecurity rules in the wake of a landmark breach. That's a bad headline. Let's read more into it. A ransomware attack on a payment processor has crippled the U.S. healthcare system, creating new momentum for cybersecurity regulations. Well, that probably is the problem. We don't really need regulations. We need the ability to enhance organizations to be able to protect their stuff. But let's carry on. A cyber attack on a payment processor that has crippled large parts of the U.S. healthcare system is inspiring calls in Washington to urgently implement cybersecurity regulations for the sector, setting up a showdown with hospitals and healthcare groups that are stridently arguing against such a move. Now, I will agree with them that probably enhanced regulation is not what we're looking for here. We'd be looking for assistance to how to better secure the systems. Don't mandate things, but whatever. Quote, as these companies have become so large, creating a systematic cybersecurity risk, not a disagree with that statement, said Senator Ron Wyden, an Oregon Democrat, said Thursday during the Senate Finance Committee hearing featuring Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, whose agency is responsible for overseeing the healthcare industry's digital security standards. The February attack on Change Healthcare, a firm whose backroom technology touches 1 in 3 American patient records, that's a lot, crippled payment processing for prescriptions and other healthcare services across the country, leaving many health practices financially strapped, some on the brink of ruin. And then there's more than that, but under mandatory rules in place, industry critics like Wyden want sharper action. The next step has got to be fines and accountability for negligent CEOs, which will enable HHS to protect patients' international security. Okay, here's a question I have. For every one of these articles, there is an article where some government entity got compromised, hacked, didn't do the right thing. Are we fining or firing anybody in those organizations? I seem to remember 2 weeks ago, the DHS CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, they got compromised. They had that. Well, actually, they didn't compromise necessarily. Yeah, their X account was compromised, but still. No, I take it back. They were compromised. They had an Avante vulnerability, allowed bad guys into two parts of their systems. Did DHS secretary lose his job? Was there a fine for them? No. So I would say to Congress, I'm not going to read much more of this article, don't worry about creating new regulations on one particular sector because something bad happened. And I'll use an analogy that a friend of mine made when I was in the FBI, which seems to happen here with all of these cybersecurity incidents. And it goes like this. There was a horse owner who had a barn full of 20 horses. One day, one of the horses broke out of his stall and ran away. So when the the horse owner came down and realized that that horse had gotten away. Did he go look for the horse? No, he closed the barn door and beat the crap out of the 19 horses that stuck around. So my point here being, don't punish those who didn't do anything wrong because one entity did something wrong. Create the environment that allows everybody else to get into a better position to do what they need to do. That includes sharing threat intelligence, providing information on compromises. Like, for example, this Change Healthcare issue. Did the Cyber Safety Review Board get deployed to look into this to create a postmortem so we can all find out what happened? No. The Office of Civil Rights at HHS is doing the investigation. I guarantee you we're not going to hear anything from them. But again, this is Congress is not going to fix all of this stuff. It's going to, looking for a stick to solve a problem when a carrot is what's needed. Okay, that's enough of my going off on this right now. This might be my Friday op-ed. So you get 10 minutes of this particular type of rant, but we'll see how that goes when it goes forward. And with that, that is going to about do it for today's particular Cyber Smart Morning News Update. As always, if you have thoughts or comments, feel free to email me, Darren@thecyberguide.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can check out my Substack. If you enjoy the podcast, please feel free to subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, both of you, pass it to someone else and they can subscribe to the channel. I'll be putting more stuff up there as time goes on, as I try to figure out this whole combo audio video thing. As I like to say, I have a face for radio, so it's just tough for me to get in front of this, but here we are. With that, I hope you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Have a cyber safe Wednesday, because if you get a little cyber smarter, you will get a whole lot cyber safer.
Cyber Smart Morning News is written and produced by Cyber Guy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.